Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
And the quality of life. My transportation secretary is there now. As I told Governor Moore, I've directed my team to move heaven and earth to reopen the port and rebuild the bridge as soon as humanly possible. And we're going to work hand in hand with the support of Maryland to support Maryland and whatever they ask for. And we're going to work with our partners in Congress to make sure the state gets the support it needs. It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt. You know, we're not leaving until this job gets done. Not leaving till then.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're not leaving till then. I don't know if you're going to visit or not. And the people of East Palestine certainly said too little, too late. But that's not the story. The story is, do you rebuild the bridge? And the answer is, yeah, you do. Of course, we're talking about this bridge in Baltimore that really is the mouth of the harbor hit by a cargo ship. The bridge collapses. There are cars on the bridge at the time. This happened at 1:20 Eastern time. This morning, Tony Katz Today, good to be with you. There was a mayday signal from the ship, from this cargo ship, which I believe is called the Dali. And you can see in videos where all the lights go out on the ship. It's like it loses power. And then the lights come back on, the lights go back off again, it comes back on. And then it hits one of the main pillars and the bridge just falls apart, falls right into the river, what's known as the Patapsco River. The Port of Baltimore suspended vessel traffic, and this is going to mean the loss of billions of dollars. Of course they're going to rebuild the bridge. And I don't know right now, not having any other information, where I would argue such a thing. This is not going to be an easy bridge to rebuild, however, because one is going to have to take a look at the supports themselves. This is a pretty big ship, 948 feet. Just hit the support dead on. The bridge went. Was there nothing around the support to actually kind of lessen an impact? Did the support have some level of distress that made it easier to destroy the bridge? I'm asking, how good were we with this infrastructure? Maybe we were fine with it. And this just happened. An investigation is going to explain it. But how does one rebuild the bridge? And does it have to rebuild now to deal with, let's say, bigger ships? Maybe it needs a different span. Maybe it needs different support. Yes, it's going to cost crazy money. But to rebuild the bridge? I don't even know what we're debating here. Clearly, this one isn't political. Please tell me this one isn't political. This one isn't political. If you want it to get political, we can do that with, of course, this from Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden is very, very special. Very special indeed.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times, commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car.
Okay. He said he's been over that bridge, commuting from Delaware, either on train or by car. Okay, we're going to do this.
Harris Biden administration.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Got hairy legs that turn turn blonde in the sun.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go. You know the thing.
Say what?
Biden says things that aren't real. Joe Biden says things that have no connection to reality. In every single place I look, there is no train, no tracks on the Francis Scott Key Bridge. None. I can tell you that the bridge opened in March of 1977, the second longest continuous truss bridge span in the world when it was built. It is the second longest in the United States, the third longest in the world. One could argue it was going to get rebuilt anyway, just not like this. So Joe Biden once again proves he has no idea what he's talking about. He just says things. Every single time that man talks, every single time that man talks, you have to check, double check, and recheck. But I can't believe we're really not going to have an argument about whether or not we rebuild the bridge. We rebuild the bridge. We're talking about the entrance to the Port of Baltimore. The economic conversation is going to come up quick. Super. I'm surprised it hasn't already. Super quick. The Dow is up 72. The NASDAQ is up 43, by the way. Here's the headline over at CNBC. Logistics companies scramble after bridge collapse closes Port of Baltimore until further notice. Right. Somebody had emailed me, hey, the shipping company has insurance, don't they? That's Maersk, M-A-E-R-S-K, is the company. And the answer is, I'm sure they do, and some of that's going to get worked out, and payouts are going to happen or not happen, and the bridge still has to be rebuilt. The port is still closed. It's going to create economic issues. Let me hit you one more interesting piece of economic news. I have studying to do. And if you have information on this, Tony at TonyKatz.com, send it my way. Cocoa prices are up. Cocoa broke the $10,000 mark, $10,030 per metric ton. To give you an example, if I were to take a look at the 1st of March, cocoa closed at $6,300 per metric ton. What the hell? It's up $3,700 in less than a month? Well, let me try and give this a little more clarity. On January 1st, 2024, so it was the new year, so we're talking about when the markets closed, cocoa was $4,200 a metric ton. In 3 months, it doubled? In three months? What in the world is going on here? Well, the two largest producers of cocoa are the Ivory Coast and Ghana. There has been some heavy rains that damages crops and makes things problematic. There's been a tremendous amount of heat and no rain, which has led to dry spells, which hurts the crop, and there's been disease. So these things create an issue. Between Ivory Coast and Ghana, if I'm going to average here, the arrivals at the ports have declined 31%. That's a pretty big drop. But I am curious about what this means for bakeries and production bakeries as well, not just your local bakery, you know, your favorite spot. Cocoa up this year 138% just this year alone. I'm paying attention to this number because this plays into the idea of the basics. This is, you know, this is our stuff. Chocolate good. This is what we do. So as we look at what this closure of the Port of Baltimore means there's also some other things going on. And just adding to, man, it's going to be hard to get stuff. But the thing I wanted to get to, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's going to be announcing his vice presidential pick today. And I want to utilize this moment as a reminder to all those who said, ooh, Robert F. Kennedy, he's opposed to COVID vaccines. Ooh, he's for free speech. I could vote for him. You're so full of it, it is hard to believe. Stop it with the populism. I'll explain coming up. I'm Tony Katz. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. set to announce that Nicole Shanahan will be his vice presidential nominee. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. Why in the world do I bring this up? By the way, he was scheduled to announce it now. He has delayed it about an hour. Why do I bring this up? Why do I bring up Nicole Shanahan? No one's heard of her. Nicole Shanahan has a history in tech. Connected to the big tech world. How connected? She was married to Sergey Brin. Sergey Brin, co-founder of Google. Married in 2018, divorced in 2022. Wall Street Journal said that she had a little dalliance with Elon Musk. They both deny the accusation. And the Wall Street Journal's like, wink, wink, sure you do, wink. She's a lawyer. And she, according to some, has donated to very left-leaning people and left-leaning causes. I watched people tell me that they were serious, very, very serious, about considering RFK and maybe voting for RFK. Look how strong he is against COVID vaccines. Look how he is for free speech. To which I said, you can agree with him on those things, but you understand that this is a guy who is a radical progressive. You understand, radical progressive. Before this run for president, RFK Jr. was a guy who thought you should be jailed if you didn't believe in climate change. He has long been a radical environmentalist. I have been places. I've interviewed the man. Oh, no, I'm not going to raise taxes. I'm just going to reapportion them. Oh, wait, what? If you think for a second that voting for RFK is a logical idea, you are out of your head. And whether it's celebrities like Rob Schneider or people who are just like, I don't know who the candidate's going to be, but I like this guy and I might just vote third party. Ridiculous. One does not vote on emotion. Now, people have said to me, Tony, if you don't understand how to grab people emotionally, you're never going to grab them. The idea that people don't win elections on emotion is ridiculous. I understand that people are emotional. And I, who am not somebody who votes on emotion, know how to grab people emotionally. I'd be pretty good at it. I could do it based on policy instead of insanity. But this is an argument against populism. This idea of they're good at one thing, that's all that matters. Yeah. This idea that we simply go emotionally from subject to subject as opposed to questioning the philosophy that brings us to an idea. And whether or not that idea has value today like it did yesterday and will it tomorrow. An actual detailed philosophical questioning of who the hell we are and why we believe what we believe. Populists don't do that. They wave the flag, they give a little rah-rah, and then that's it. They try and ride the emotional wave. Populism is for the fool. Populism is ridiculous. Populism sucks. I bring this up also in the guise of the move to remove Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House, which I put out on social media. I was in Vegas for a few days. I'll talk about the Vegas trip. And so people are like, oh, Tony, you're totally wrong. They're talking about the spending bill, which was a fair amount of garbage. You will not get me to disagree that the spending bill was a fair amount of garbage. Now, some things in the spending bill were all right. So, for example, the Congressional DEI office was disbanded because of the new spending package. That's good. But not all of it. Not all of it in any way. I am fine with saying these people are not doing enough to move our agenda forward. We have to vote them out and get new people in. That's what elections are for. Run good people in primaries, make them the candidate, make your case, get them elected. But I've got Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia moving to vacate the chair. We're going to actually discuss this. That's populism. It's a ridiculous idea. Republicans had a small majority as it is, and you could end this year with Speaker Hakeem Jeffries. Why? Populism. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, allowed this deal to be voted on. It's a terrible deal. Replace him. No. Funding of the government had to take place. You didn't want to engage any blame for it. You weren't interested in that fight. You'll work on other fights. Get it done. But the deal wasn't good. Oh, you better vote for new people. And you better start winning by margins of 50. Vacate the chair, remove the speaker. Hey, children, no. You did that with Kevin McCarthy, and there's nothing to gain from it. You have nothing to show for it. Now you say to me, Tony, why are you picking a fight with me? Why are you angry with me? I'm tired of losing. And I'm tired of this crap from Green, or is it Gates, or name the other person who wants to tell me that this is the way. This isn't the way. This is the way they get reelected. This is the way they control their fiefdom. This is the way they profit. But I lose. I'm not interested in losing. And I don't give a damn about their profit. What I care about is a philosophy that gets us to a place that's better for America. This is what matters to me. Not Marjorie Taylor Greene on some freaking bender about why Mike Johnson has to go. Mike Johnson has to stay right where he is, and Kevin McCarthy should have stayed right where he was. And maybe if Kevin McCarthy had stayed right where he was, first of all, we'd be in the same exact place with policy, and we'd still have Mike Gallagher, and we would still have Ken Buck, and we would still have, and we would still have, and we would still have. All right, maybe we still would still not have George Santos. Maybe he'd be gone, but neither here nor there. These guys are walking away. And you're right. Ken Buck has been terrible. But I need him on 3 or 4 votes. Can we discuss the idea of getting through what we've got and then working on the next one? Working on getting better people nominated and then elected? And then you won't have these issues? But that can only be done if you win. And populists don't want to win. They want to tell me how tough they are. I don't care how tough you think you are. It's meaningless if you don't have control, if you don't win. Let me say it differently. Your system, populists, your philosophy doesn't exist. It is based on your emotion, and your emotions will always betray you. So if I were to state it as your philosophy sucks. You're losers. You can't win elections. And that's very troubling, because the truth is, when we actually do engage philosophically, we agree about a lot of the same things. So could we put our emotions to the side, not be crazy, and just go about winning? Once you do that, you'll realize anybody who ever thought that they would vote for RFK Jr. can look at this vice presidential pick and be like, oh, hey, that was a mistake of an idea. Whew, glad I didn't do that. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. This is Tony Katz Today. We'll be right back. watching the media lose its mind that Donald Trump's bond was lowered. This absolute insanity that took place, $454 million for no crime. $454 million because Trump got loans and paid them back. Well, he got favorable terms because he inflated the value of his properties, which I should state for the record would be the bank's issue in accepting the value of the properties. But no one discusses the fact that the bank actually wanted to be in business with Donald Trump. He paid back the loans. We still don't know what the crime is. You may not like that if values were inflated. You might say you don't want to vote for him because of it. I'm not telling you no. But crime? And to have someone like Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, who ran for office on the platform of going after Trump, going after a citizen. These are troubling times in the kingdom. Tony Katz, Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. But it's this bond conversation that has got people apoplectic because the bonds got lowered. What happened was Trump has been ordered to pay a $454 million bond. No one's giving a $454 million bond. And it was very clear and obvious that what Letitia James and progressives were looking forward to was that moment that they could seize Trump's properties in order to pay the $454 million. They were thrilled and overjoyed by this idea. It was unbelievably, if not completely, sexually gratifying for them. You guys, that's how much they were looking forward to it. Well, Trump is looking to appeal these decisions, and now he has found a court, an appeals court, that has agreed to hold up on collecting the bond and said, look, if you could put up a bond for $175 million within 10 days, that'll do. Now you say to me, Tony, did you just say Trump found a court? And my answer is, well, yeah, he appealed. And there was a court that said yes. What made anybody think that this first court was the only court? What made anybody think that this judge and Letitia James were the only people who were going to get a say in this? That's so strange when people are like, how dare anybody question the ruling here? Well, what's that judge's name? Aragorn? Aragorn. Nope. Aragorn is from the Hobbit thing. He's from Lord of the Rings. Why did anybody think that nobody could appeal? Why did anybody even consider this? Of course he could. Of course he could try and get a better deal for himself. Why is it time and time and time again that progressives fail to understand that the defendant has rights? Instead, you get reactionary clips like this.
And honestly, this is so infuriating, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if I care what the process is that these judges are arriving at. Whatever it is, it's flawed. I can tell you that much. I mean, David put it well. This is a different process for this person. We have decided that he gets his own private court of justice. He has a private plane. He has private clubs that he lives in. You know, apparently, you know, he basically fashioned himself his own private militia to try to take over the Capitol.
This guy is just out of his head. I don't know who he is. Does it matter? He's jealous that Trump has more money than he does. And oh, Trump today and the markets. With the whole Truth Media world, Truth Social, going public, giving him a net worth of $6.5 billion, makes him one of the world's 500 richest men. This is all happening all at the same time. It is hilarious. His net worth increased by more than $4 billion because of what's happening with Truth Social and everything else and how it's going on the markets. And this guy is angry. His own militia for January 6th. Well, of course they're going to throw that in. It's the same when people throw in, well, he said there were very fine people on both sides of Charlottesville, which is, of course, a lie and never, ever got said. They don't care that they lie. They don't care as long as they destroy. But that first part of it, listen again.
We have decided that he gets his own private court of justice.
No, he appealed a decision. He appealed. This is what's lost in these progressive stories. Why can't he appeal? Why doesn't he have the right to what everybody else has in the United States? The right to appeal. The right to, fight the accusations against him. My argument here is not one that is political. If you don't want to vote for him, don't. I have made the argument, we could have had DeSantis. We could have had DeSantis. But we don't have DeSantis, we have Trump. It's Trump or Biden, take your pick. Now, it won't be Biden, and that creates a whole bunch of issues in and of itself, but you'll make your decisions. But if he wasn't running for office, he would be able to defend himself? No, you don't think he should be allowed to defend himself. Not you, they. And that's the issue. The issue is they don't believe he should be allowed to defend himself. They should be able to do anything they want to him, and he should just take it. And if Trump should just take it, that means de facto, you should just take it. You know, one of Trump's arguments that I think is most successful, and I don't think they all are. I think Trump sometimes does himself great damage when he opens his mouth. I wasn't a fan of his Israel comments, for example. He screwed it up. He screwed the pooch on that. That's all there is. But for Trump to make the argument, if they can do this to me, imagine what they can do to you. The left rejects how powerful that is. And when I say rejects, they won't admit to it. But they know it's true. That argument connects with Americans and has Americans saying, oh yeah, I'm going to donate to him and I don't care if he uses the money to pay off his legal bills. Fine by me. That's how strong it is. That's how much it connects. It's not deniable. It is what it is, what it is. They are simply apoplectic that Trump is able to actually defend himself. This is how they finish it up.
He has private clubs that he lives in. You know, apparently, you know, he basically fashioned himself his own private militia to try to take over the Capitol. You know, now he's getting his own private system of justice. This is an absolute travesty. It would not happen for anybody else. Anybody else, it would be like, sorry, buddy, you lost, pay up. For him, he gets his own set of rules.
It's a travesty. I have got a cargo ship that has run into a bridge. You had 20 cars fall into the water. The bridge was destroyed. Lord only knows how many people were hurt. Never mind the damage done. Never mind the questions it has led to for Americans all across the country on how this happens. But somehow Trump availing himself of the justice system is a travesty. Hear their words. And understand what it means. They still want you to think this is about Trump. But this is clearly about whether or not we have a rule of law. Because their argument is, why should those people be able to take advantage of the rule of law? Why should those people be allowed a break? We should be allowed to do to them what we want to do to them, and they should suffer. And suffer greatly because we know what's best. That is the movement and the argument, the mindset of the political left. And you see that in these kinds of commentaries from guys, you have no idea who they are. I barely know who they are. I do this for a living. I barely know who they are. They've always got some guy who will come on the MSNBC, CNN type of sets and say this nonsense. But they represent exactly where the left is and why I'm not a part of it. They don't think the rule of law should exist. If they don't like you, you don't get options. You don't get lawyers. You don't get appeals. You just take what they give you. No wonder this makes Trump stronger, seemingly in poll after poll after poll. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz today. A couple of days in Vegas will remind you that some people should wear more clothes. That's just fact, kitten. Tony Katz today. What's going on? Well, Tony, you should wear more clothes. A good one. I travel in a suit and I'm always ready to go. I understand me very well. I didn't say if you were at the pool or you were at the beach, you could be shirtless, wear any bathing suit you want, knock yourself out. You want to be a Speedo guy? I am not here to judge. I'm not here to hang out with you, but I'm also not here to judge. I am discussing what is considered acceptable for just being out and about around people and the total lack of shame that people have. The amount of women I saw, you want to talk about the amount of guys who are grossly overweight? Yeah, they're there. But the amount of women I saw who were 5'2" and 250 pounds wearing half shirts. And you say to me, you are so judgmental, Tony. And I'll say to you, yeah, and I think we need to bring it back. This is my argument. I think we need to bring judgmental back. One is not questioning whether or not they are nice to their family. One is not questioning whether or not they should be able to go to a swimming pool. Not saying that. I am discussing the total lack of shame. Body positivity has a dark side, a downside, a problematic side, that when you are that overweight, you should not be proud. You should be working on it. I don't think you should live in the closet. I don't think you should not see the light of day, feel the sun on your face. One should not be a Smeagol existence. That's right. That's like my second or third Lord of the Rings reference today. I am on fire, I tell you. I'm saying that one should look at themselves honestly and say, this isn't working. This isn't good. This isn't healthy. This isn't valuable. This is terrible. And you say to me, you don't know, maybe someone's attracted to that. Maybe they are. My goodness, there's a fetish for many things out there. Doesn't mean we should applaud it. It doesn't. It doesn't mean we should applaud the absolute rampant drinking that leads to guys being unable to walk onto an elevator, which I saw more than once. We shouldn't cheer it. Ah, look at them. Dude, if you're going to tell me everybody's had an experience, sure, everyone's had one. I am the only one who hasn't. I was drunk once in my life. In my life. A snowstorm. I was stuck at a friend's house and it was white wine. It's a sad story and you can judge me for it because I deserve it. It wasn't bourbon. It wasn't some beer. It wasn't shots of freaking Fireball. It was a Chablis. By the way, that's a true story. That's a true story. The only time I was ever drunk in my life was an apartment in northern New Jersey. Yeah, it happened. And it's just never for me. Even with the whole Eat, Drink, Smoke show, which is why I was out there, eatdrinksmokeshow.com. It was a big cigar convention. I'm a sipper. I'm not a drinker. I want to understand how a distiller gets to the place. I want to understand the flavors. I want to understand how it breaks down. I have no interest in having two. I barely have an interest in finishing the one. It's just not where I live and breathe. But you're going to do 5 days of blackout drunk? Dude, I judge you. You bet your butt I judge you. I think we need to be a little more judgmental. I think we need more judgment. I think we have to start saying that this idea, for example, body positivity, isn't positive. Body positivity is a way of keeping people from engaging in judgment and allowing the behaviors that will hurt society. Because nobody is helped from this. These people are not helped from this, who have zero shame and zero regard for their health. somehow it's something to be proud of. It's not. It's not, and we should say so. It's something I'm going to be digging into more. Talk about a weird thing to have a realization on as you're walking through Vegas. You're like, oh, wait a second. That's how those things connect. Oh no. And then you're like, yeah, I have to stop it. I have to work this through in my head. And I'm literally taking notes in my head about, okay, this, and I would say this, and here's how it connects, and here's how I tell the story. That was my Vegas trip. Oh, and some very good food. And also $7 coffee. From now on, I bring a Keurig because it was nuts. The bridge updates will continue, of course. We're talking about the bridge that was hit by a cargo ship. This going over the Patapsco River, forgive me, in Maryland. And as we have heard from the governor, there is no evidence right now of anything having to do with terrorism.
I recognize that many of us are hurting right now. I recognize that many of us are scared right now. And so I want to be very clear about where everything stands. We are still investigating what happened, but we are quickly gathering details. The preliminary investigation points to an accident. We haven't seen any credible evidence of a terrorist attack. Our administration is working closely with leaders from all levels of government and society to respond to this crisis, and not but just by addressing the immediate aftermath, but also by building a state that is more resilient and a state that's more safe. That is our pledge, and that's our commitment, and we're going to keep that commitment.
I don't think this is about the state of Maryland so much, but I'm not going to stop the governor, Wes Moore, from saying so. People will get upset. Why would you say there was terrorism? Why would you even bring it up? Because in our world, when a cargo ship hits a bridge in a way that will take the whole bridge down, 20 cars were on the bridge. Turns out there were Mayday calls, and maybe they had an opportunity to slow down traffic. May have saved lives, but it's a place that your head goes. But the details are necessary. Right now, we don't know what happened. I will have more details in the days ahead. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Tomorrow, everyone, take care.